I'm Isander.
And I'm Coda.
And today we're going to be covering our fundamentals, because I mention them in... Not every episode, but they come up often enough that we need to cover them. And for all the topics are going to be relevant, so we do need to cover them.
Fundamentals?
Yes.
Are we going back to the 20 Primarchs?
No, somehow more fundamental than that. Like we're going to be talking about the Death Worlds, which are a whole... It's like a whole... Because the Imperium has so many fun ways of categorizing planets, and Death World is... You bump into it frequently enough.
It would...
Yes. Before you get into that, though, we do have four options available that you guys get to choose from for the next video. It is Armageddon, the Sautek Dynasty, Tau Crisis Suits, and the Worst Fates in 40K. You guys get to pick them by sounding off in the comments. Three get made, one disappears probably forever. I don't know. Maybe they'll pop up, maybe they won't. No thumbs on scale.
So excited to learn about the one planet that, for some reason, we just won't leave.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. If they win.
Fun is one word to put it.
We also have a Patreon where you can get twice as many episodes every week, because we do make two of these. A bunch, access to the full backlog. I'm talking, gosh, like 50 plus. It's a year's worth.
A lot.
It's a lot of stuff. For those of you that have binged everything here, there's even more there. Bloopers if they happen, behind the scenes stuff. And priority voting, because Patreon gets to put its thumb on the scale a little bit. And you can do all of that and help us support this show by heading on over to patreon.com/isanderandcoda. And now let's get into them. You will notice a trend with a lot of the Death Worlds. And that is a paper-thin excuse.
What do you mean?
Okay, there's one, for example, that gives us Rambo in space. There's another that gives us Germans running around, World War I era. Germans running around, leaping on any and every grenade they can find. And then there's just Jurassic Park.
Da-da, copyright, no. Copyright. Yep.
Well, if you hum it, you're still going to... You are not real quick on the draw sometimes, I swear to God. It's fine. It's okay. It's okay. There is a lot... of fun to be had. Please don't come after me, Universal Music Group. There's a lot of fun to be had with the Death Worlds. And the most important thing about them is they have to be... Here's the thing. There are Dead Worlds, and then there are Death Worlds.
There is a difference.
There is a difference, and it sounds so pedantic, but it does matter.
Well, one is already dead. One is in the process of killing you.
You're going to hear about some of these, and it's real close to dead. The thing about it is, it has to be... If this is man versus wild, it at least has to be a reasonable fight, you know? It's like your average Joe versus Mike Tyson, where it's like, oof, you might win that, but I'm not betting on you. Versus your average Joe versus Mike Tyson, but his hands are both howitzers. Well, it's kind of over, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that is the main difference between the Death Worlds. And then from there, there's just huge subcategories. I'm talking there's 101 subcategories of them, because the Imperium will categorize and then subcategorize everything, because that's somebody's job and nobody's going to check in on them while they do it. There are worlds with deadly flora, worlds with fauna, worlds that just the terrain itself, it makes it a death world, because that can happen.
The terrain is just so volatile, like sudden tectonic crack right there.
Yep, and I'm dead. It could be freezing cold, it could be blisteringly hot, it could be sandstorms, it'll just separate your flesh from your bones. Yes. There is hail that will just three-hole punch you. That's just a thing that can happen.
Just three?
Yeah.
It's very precise hail.
Yeah, it's very precise hail. There are just ocean worlds that are perpetually a hurricane. So you have ocean worlds that are just this perpetual hurricane roiling around. It's really rough, and that's kind of the first one we're going to go over, the environmental kind, because this is a straightforward one.
It's a very straightforward one.
We have these in our own backyard. Yeah. I mean, nobody's settling the what is it? The Great Red Spot? Big Red? Yeah, Big Red. Close enough.
The one on Jupiter?
Yeah. Nobody's settling anywhere near that.
Well, nobody's settling on a gas giant.
Yeah, but like, moral of the story is... Even if there was land there, you wouldn't. The hurricane force winds, the thing's the size of, how many Earths? Three Earths? three Earths is the size of that hurricane?
I thought it was bigger.
No, I think of verbatim Jupiter, which is a lot of Earths. But
if no, I remember correctly, I think great the red spot is like...
Which I think dissipated.
By a little bit. It's still there.
Yeah, but it's not like the great red spot anymore. It's just kind of like the great red schmear.
Still freaking huge.
Yeah, it's still Earth and some change, but you know, it's not the spot it used to be. It's losing its glamour. It's aging a little bit, okay? God. But yeah, that's the first type, environmental. And the way you cope with these ones is you just stay inside.
You don't visit.
No. The way these worlds are settled is domes or pods or steel bunk. It doesn't matter. You drill a hole, you have floating... Because this is 40K. They've settled gas giants before. You just have floating fortresses.
So you just build Bespin.
No idea what that is.
It's the city... It's the city from Star Wars.
Yeah, no.
The one that's floating over the clouds?
My knowledge stops.
You may know it as Cloud City because
there we go, you geek. Finally. Why didn't you start there?
It's fun.
Okay, regardless, yes, that is the perfect description. Cloud City. Sure. Moral of the story is you don't leave Cloud City. I don't care if Vader's running through those halls. You stay indoors. You stay inside and you pray you never have to leave. Nice thing is, great place to pressure test gear.
Yeah, just drop it.
Yeah, just shunt it outside.
Just
drop it. Yeah, well, that armor got sanded away quickly. Make it a little thicker, you know? If you want to build boats, nowhere is better than the Storm World, where you can just sail it and, oh, it died on impact with the first 30-story wave. Okay, all right.
Well, we know what to do for next time.
Exactly. They're very good test beds for a lot of the Imperium's weaponry, so that's why you'll find a lot of people on those worlds. Also, because harsh environments create unique minerals, right? It's oh god, what planet is it? I think there's a planet nearby or a moon nearby in a cosmic way, you know? So like still multiple layers.
In our solar system or
I think it's like all diamond. If I remember correctly, it is raw, hard, solid, all diamond. Like knock on it, it's like 10 trillion carats. Which is not saying much because diamonds are not that rare on Earth anyway.
Yeah, they're just kind of in a supply. They're just in a vault somewhere because we can make one person now. Got ahead of the curve and then just kind of hid them in a vault. We can said they're valuable them. Now.
But yes,
they're made of one of the most common elements in the universe,
carbon. And so a lot of environmental worlds are settled because that harsh environment creates things that normally you'd need a lab to produce. So you can just. Put on a hazmat suit. Get out there. Pretty glad you don't die.
Pick it up with a glove. Maybe some tongs.
It's less the picking up problem and more the surviving to get there. My favorite example is 40K is so ridiculous. It's a crystalline world like I was describing, which is effectively all diamond or all whatever crystal you want. Whatever your birth rock is, okay? Opal, maybe. And they have these things called... Is it aquamarine?
For me, it is.
Oh, God. What's mine?
I don't know. I just remember... I memorized mine because I actually genuinely liked aquamarines.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're a very nice shade of blue.
I don't know mine.
I just know mine.
Okay.
I don't know what the others are supposed to be.
I'm sure there's some woo-woo explanation for it. But on this crystalline world, they will have these things called... Shard devils? It's 40K? You will have a dust devil. Just a regular old dust devil. You know how these operate. Tiny twisters.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. Oh, this sounds frightening.
But it is super heated air to the point where it'll make contact with any of the crystalline structures there. And because of the rapid change, shatter it. And now it's just a hurricane of glass, effectively, moving in a direction. And that's just a thing you have to deal with.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it could be glass, it could be shards of diamond. Regardless, that's going to do damage to your structures. So
that it is.
It's really hard to get a grip on a lot of these worlds. But like I said, this is the least dangerous of the bunch. This is a good day on a death world. It only gets worse when you look at flora and fauna. I'm going to group them together because if I die by massive Venus flytrap or I die by T-Rex, it doesn't
matter. Either way, you've been munched.
Yes, either way, I've been compressed. I'm gone, right?
Well, you've also been compressed on the gas giant.
Not if I don't leave.
This one is chomped, not compressed.
Oh, fine, I'll give you that. Fair enough. It ranges from just hostile animals and plants, because duh, to toxic animals and plants, because duh. I mean, this is the stuff. It's Australia. It's Australia, where you sneeze and you find a very poisonous snake. And that's just a thing that you live with, and they somehow manage it. Right? Like, I've just seen footage of, oh, yeah, look at that. Just a bunch of dingoes running through my backyard.
So why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Sure. Open up the toilet, find a spider the size of my fist. Ah, it's a good day. At least it's not the size of my head. You know? The thing I like about these worlds is, on the surface, real easy to see through. Dangerous animals, dangerous plants. But it's when they get creative with them that I quite like them. Because, for example, one of the most remarkable death worlds out there, there's no carnivores.
Is it just carnivorous plants?
No, not even carnivorous plants. Well, the plants are pretty tough. The plants are pretty tough. The problem is herbivores that are just unchecked. And so it's the equivalent of, I am trying to farm.
Oh.
A triceratops just bowled through my living room and ate my hydrangea. It won't kill me, but...
This really is Australia, because that's just the cause of the Great Emu War.
Is that why they went to war with emus?
Yes, because emus were just destroying farmlands. Because they'd walk in packs, they'd eat a bunch of farmers' crops, and then they'd leave too fast to be shot. And emus... Emus are huge.
Is this the cause? I thought emus were just awful. I thought that's why this war started.
No, it's because they were...
purely because emus are emus.
They were wrecking the Australian farming economy.
They're native to Australia, right? They're not invasive.
No.
They just do this?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love Australia.
Yeah, so the problem was that the farmers didn't have the firepower to kill off the emus as they would come in and get their crops, because emus are actually quite large and quite fast, so even if you do hit them with a rifle bullet, they'll just tank it.
I'm sorry, the concept of requirements to be a farmer in Australia: land owning, hard working, packing heat.
Well, you're on a farm in the middle of Australia. Of course you're gonna be packing heat.
Apparently they don't, they had a massive like gun buyback thing.
Oh, yeah, because they had, like, one big, like,
a while
bad, ago. Bad thing. Oh. And then they said, nope, never again.
But that's just so crazy that the problem wasn't... The problem... First of all, the problem is emus are awful. But the secondary problem is farmers didn't have the heat to deal with the situation.
Well, considering that there was a task force...
A task force?
There was an
You're
army...
joking.
There was an army of, I think it was three or five men that was sent with a mini gun on the back of a truck to go cull the emus, and they couldn't solve the problem.
Okay, hold on. First of all, I thought the Great Emu War was just, you know, just hype, really. I thought this was just like, you know, the way wild boars are a problem, and so you don't get penalized for shooting them, right? I thought it was kind of like that. No. You're telling me this is a hard thing I could look up and find, like, Great Emu War, belligerents, emus.
The Wikipedia page used to list the emus as the victors until I think Australians got mad at that, and so now it just reads as a forfeiture.
Okay, sure. Honestly, great description. The more I think about it, Australia's awful close to a death world.
Yeah.
Yes, but that is... That's precisely accurate. But the ones that make the most headlines aren't the worlds that are ambivalently dangerous, if that makes sense. Because an earthquake doesn't care. You know, the Triceratops doesn't care. It's just trying to eat.
It's just hungry.
Yeah, the emus.
It's hungrier than you. If you really wanted that food, you would have eaten it faster than it could.
The emus weren't belligerent or angry. They're just
hungry.
Yeah, he's hungry here.
Munch, munch, tasty leaf.
Yeah, the ones that make the most headlines are ones where it's described as the environment itself is against you. Like, it is actively upset about your existence, and we'll do quite a bit to mend that. Because Death Worlds, I mentioned the herbivores. I didn't mention any of the carnivores, which are just, you know, 10-year-olds see like a saber-toothed tiger and think that's really, really cool. Let's add some armor plating and more saber teeth. It's like that tier of day. It's that tier of so. It's like shoehorned to, this is ridiculous. So, yeah. But I love it. I love it so much. I'm so here for it. I'm so here for it. Like an Uber tiger? Yeah, totally. I'm here for it. It's mortifying. I'd love to face one in Mortal Kombat. The if you want to survive in a are you okay? If you want to survive in an environment as hostile as that, you have a very different approach from the environmental ones. You good?
Yeah.
Okay. You have a very different approach from the environmental ones. It's less hunkering down and more constant effort. It's this walled compound that is your home that everyone must patrol constantly. You have to check for any new cracks in the wall. Every single foot of fence must be checked every morning. Are the auto guns okay? Hey, did we get the extra shipment of ammo we needed? It's just constantly. The name of the game is maintenance. It is, you stay on top of everything because, oh my God, if even the tiniest of holes, we're all dead. We are all actively dead. The most famous of these being Catachan, because have we covered Catachan?
I don't think we have covered that. It is a weird jungle that is full of so much aggressive wildlife that it just breeds Rambos.
Yes, precisely. Catachan sucks. Catachan's awful. Even Space Marines go, oof, I'm not going there. I am not dealing with that.
I'm too expensive for this.
Yeah, hell no. Catachan, I love Catachan so much. It has no defenses. There's not a planetary defense force. There's not a ship that orbits. Nobody cares about Catachan.
Except Cata...
No, they don't.
Chanians?
They don't defend... They do not defend...
Shanites?
Rambo. Rambo in his prime, that's all. They don't care. They will not stop you if you invade the world. Because the world will deal with it on its own. Ugh. Orcs have tried, they failed. Tyranids have tried, they failed. The whole thing was swallowed by the warp.
Tyranids have tried, they failed?
Yes. Holy shit. The whole thing was... Okay, so you know the way the universe decided, like... Oh, not the universe. The galaxy decided being a whole thing was not really fun.
And it decided to be...
Split in half.
0.5.
Yeah, exactly. Real right. It's got a nice crack going through right now. Really mm-hmm. cool, really fun stuff.
It's got a little bit of plumber's crack happening right now.
More than that. A lot more than that. But Catachan was swallowed by a warp storm hard for a while. And a whole crusade was sent to figure out, hey, are they
good?
Are they still there? And it was fine. The whole thing dunked into hell itself, came back, demons couldn't tame it.
So this is Rambo combined with a Chuck Norris meme.
It's horrifying. It is said that every fortress on Catachan is the only one that can exist there. They have tried for generations, and they have discovered that there are like 5 spots where this is fine. That's it. Everywhere else sucks. Buildings here, you will put up a building and vines will collapse it in a day.
Huh.
It is...
The world just hates you.
The world hates you. The moss that will grow on walls is acidic and will eat right through it.
The world just hates you.
And every time you build something, it feels like the entire biosphere just turns towards it and goes, that's not supposed to be there.
The world just hates
you. Because you know the whole circle of life situation where it's like, ah, this kills that and that kills this and it's the circle of life.
You're at the bottom of that.
No, it'll stop for you.
No. Instead of doing a circle that does this, it'll be a circle that does this.
Yeah. Herbivores, predators, everything will just try and... desecrate what you've built. I'm talking like massive wildcats that can kill a man with a single swipe of its paw, to the most dangerous thing in the galaxy, the barking toad. That is unironically not a joke. A barking toad can actually level an imperial ship if it's placed in the right spot.
Okay.
Yeah, Catachan's a lot, and it's cool. An episode for sure. Yep. It's actually kind of cute, too.
Is this on the level of, like, the Hypnotoad?
No.
No.
It's I wish I brought art with it. It's just a rather large frog, really. Mm-hmm. They're known for moving in particularly erratic patterns,
Freaky, considering that frogs already move in pretty erratic patterns.
Yes,
and to be erratic for a frog,
It said that it gives space marines the heebies and the jeebies when they see these things. And their basic shtick is they just kind of want to be left alone, like most wildlife. Just leave me alone. I'm gonna do my thing. You do your thing. I'm far more scared of you than you are of me.
Yeah,
you know. However, if it feels threatened, it will put out a cloud of toxins a kilometer in every direction that will dissolve anything it makes contact with.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
And these things are just charging into your base now because they're agitated and, oh, you stepped on the barking toad? There goes the whole base.
Hmm.
Just like that.
That'd do it.
I wasn't kidding. The barking toad's a mess. It's unironically one of the most dangerous cataloged life forms in the galaxy.
Corrosive gas for a kilometer in every direction.
It'll also melt the frog itself in the process.
Well,
it's
bees, at least bumblebees, kill themselves when they sting you.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but if a bumblebee could kill like a whole class and then some.
I don't think they would. They're not that aggressive.
No. No. Oh, maybe those, like, remember that one massive scare, the African hornet thing on that? Super bees? Bees squared?
Asian. I think it's the...
Moral of the story. Apparently it felt like you're getting shot. I think they're Japanese. Yeah, not unthrilling. A very unthrilling species of bee. Not great. Up there with the bees that have hives that look like they're just bleeding. Very cool aesthetic. Horrifying. You've seen those, right?
No, I have not.
Apparently, I don't know if it's a thing that they do or if it's dependent on what pollen they gather. But like, blood red honey. It's apparently a thing.
Frightening.
Really cool. Has a weird taste, I've heard.
I want to see Coyote Pierce.
I think blue's possible too. I think. But now we're getting experimental.
A video idea just popped up into my head. Coyote Peterson dealing with the blood flies from Dishonored 2.
I love that man.
I'm Coyote Peterson.
Unironically, there are like five people on planet
Earth. Be brave. Stay wild. Let's do this. And then he just gets stung by the worst thing.
No. It's always be brave. Stay wild. Smash cut to him rolling on the ground in agony. and just screaming. He deserves every view he's got.
I love that poor guy.
He deserves
guy.
Every view he's got. Because he also makes it, like, my favorite is he'll be rolling around in pain and just describing it in great detail so you know.
Oh, yeah. It's like
he'll be out there describing it and you go, wow, I'm glad I'm not you.
What's that one scale for, like, stings that somebody in the 1700s invented?
Owie to shoot me in the head.
No, there's a Sam O'Nella video about this. There's
Owie
like
to shoot me in the head. It's a wonderful scale.
It's logarithmic.
Yeah, it's owie to shoot me in the head. It's a great scale. Stub my toe, a little bit over owie. Bullet ant, shoot me in the head. Really nice scale. It's true.
If I remember correctly, there was one bug that was above the bullet ant sting.
There's one more, but that's...
can't remember.
We are getting into the weeds.
It was like... It like hunted birds.
Yeah, we're getting real into this. I have no idea. No
Watch more. The Coyote Peterson video, I guess.
Next up are the man-made ones.
Man-made horrors beyond my comprehension?
Oh, no, they're very much so within our comprehension. Oh, the Imperium slaps these babies out. You got to remember, they're not the good guys. They put them out on a semi-regular basis. Sometimes it's conflict-related, you know? Fighting chaos and tyranny. Fighting everyone requires a lot of firepower. And sometimes that firepower is aggressive, you know? So nuclear winter is a cause. I think that's why we have, that's how we got the World War I aesthetic Krieg.
Where, yeah, because it's just a nuclear winter planet.
Yep. It's a paradise world that mostly turned traitor, except for one place that said, fine, if the Emperor can't have this planet, no one can.
And then they just hit the big red button.
Yep, and fired every single warhead outwards, which resulted in more warheads being fired and the surface use useless. What matters and why people like Krieg isn't the fact that they nuked their own planet. It is the fact that while everyone else was busy trying to survive and rebuild and, oh my God, how will we ever make our planet back? Krieg organized and took back every inch from the traitors. They dragged this civil war out for another 500 years.
Through the nuclear winter.
Yes. And then when they came back to the Imperium, they discovered that their whole planet had been charged to the game. They basically were said, nah, write it off, moving on.
So they nuked their entire planet, planetary annihilation style, and then they walked out of the bunkers and started playing Fallout 4, except on a massive scale.
Yep, and you want to know the reward for it? The administrators looked up from the piece of paper, said, oh, you're still alive? Okay, cool. Well, you owe 500 years of taxes, so we'll need that in either cash, PayPal, Venmo, or human lives. And before they could finish human lives, 30 full regiments appeared. with the apology, sorry we couldn't do 10.
Huh. Sorry we couldn't do 10.
Krieg is sketchy. Nobody even knows if kids are actually born or manufactured there. What matters is they are put out at a stunning rate. They have almost no sense of self-preservation and are genuinely so committed to the mission, it's depressing to be around them. Because there's no gallantry, there's no heroics, there's no, we can rally together and win this. You will just hear a gas mask breathing and a commissar shouting, we need to take that wall, and then just every Krieger will rush the wall. And you will just see them getting mowed down. In droves getting mowed down, and they don't care.
No care. There's like 20 more of them.
And as a guardsman, you just sat there going, oh my God, I'm worthless. I do not matter. It's genuinely, people who are dispatched with Kriegers hate it. They're off-putting. They're not fans of it.
But they took the phrase to be a man in the 41st millennium is to be among untold trillions,
and they accepted it.
And they just went, that just means there are a couple billion more to one me.
Only in death does duty end. So let's bring this duty to an end. It's rough, but they're very beloved. They have, like I said, World War One era German aesthetic, so pretty cool.
Very trenchy, very trench coaty, very gas massy.
Mm-hmm. They have horses with gas masks. It's a whole thing. They've committed to the bit.
Well, we had horses with gas masks.
Oh my God, we did.
Yeah, we did. How do you think we continued having horses while gas was being used? Hoping. Do you think they were just immune to the gas? Do you think Agent Orange just skipped them over?
Well, that's like 50 years.
No, that's Vietnam. What mustard?
Mustard gas.
Do you think mustard gas just skipped over the horses?
Well, I mean, as with all gas-based warfare, I assumed you just held your breath and hoped that the wind didn't change.
Do you think the horse knows to hold its breath?
I would assume when the stinging kicked in, it would. And listen, the first time we used mustard gas, we used massive fans and the wind just changed it back, okay? It's a Looney Tunes form of weaponry. Okay? It is the epitome of using a stick of dynamite to go fishing. All right?
It's possible, but why would you?
Why would you? You desecrate everything you want. It's not just war that will render a world deathy, though.
Deathy?
Death adjacent. There are countless others that have just been leveled by complete and total deregulation of everything. Because as it turns out, if you remove every restraint on industry there is, and then you pair it with a system that sees human lives as cheaper than currency, you have some of the most efficient companies you can imagine. It doesn't matter if Bill dies standing on the assembly line. We did the math, and we know that the average human from birth till death, while starving, can screw in 5,755,062 and 5 screws before they die on the spot. And at that point, they will have had a kid who can just take up the mantle and give me another 5 million or so screws. So that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, and that's if they work at a manufacturing facility. If they work at a protein sludge factory, they fall into the conveyor belt. No. Oh, that's great.
Extra flavor. Moving on. You do not question why your world sucks. Water is supposed to be thick and sludgy. Clouds are supposed to be pitch black. And the oceans are supposed to be actively steaming. This is all normal. It's okay. Carry on. In the name of the God Emperor, keep churning out those tanks. And this is not a one-off. There are many Forge worlds like this. We covered this in the Mechanicus episode, which I quite like. They're rough. They are very, very rough.
They are not good.
Yes. And sometimes it will cause the environment to become so hostile that it'll become perfect for weapons testing. Because, hey, the ocean's now perpetually boiling. This is neat. Or, hey, we needed to mine deep sea minerals, but we kind of boiled away most of it. So it's not just kind of a puddle. We could just go down there and grab it.
It's just a grab and go now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the last of the man-made death worlds are my favorite. It is not intentional. It is not malicious. It's not intelligent. It's not profit-driven. It's none of that.
Then what is it?
Sheer stupidity.
Ah.
Sheer blinding hubris and stupidity.
That, too real. We're getting too real now.
Because like, my favorite is there's this guy in the middle, almost smack in the middle of Ultramar, who decided, I know how I'll make my world matter. I will make it a menagerie world with two of every of the most dangerous animal we can find, and we shall capture them and keep them here, and it'll be quite the tourist attraction. And it really was kind of a tourist. Like, there were field trips there.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, and then an earthquake hit the zoo.
Jurassic Park.
And all of them got out.
Jurassic Park world.
Or like those hippos in Colombia.
Huh?
Oh, do you not know about the Colombian hippos?
No, I don't know about the Colombian hippos.
You don't
know
about the Colombian hippos and the missing F1 McLaren? El Chapo did a lot of... No, sorry. Not El Chapo. What's his name? Pablo Escobar did a lot of weird stuff with his drug money. A lot of weird stuff with it.
What do two hippos...
Because
the McLaren F1 have to do with each other?
They were bought by a man who had so much money, he had it in the walls molding and would set it on fire to stay warm. Pablo Escobar was rich back in the day. It was ridiculous. And I don't know how nobody questioned, yes, I would like to buy a McLaren F1, please. Where do you want to ship it? Colombia. How will you be paying cash? Cash.
Well, I'm sure his money was laundered and in a bank account somehow.
It was one of the hurdles. Man, what a struggle. What a hard life to live, by the way. Was laundering it all.
Yeah.
It was a real, genuine hassle. If you read some of the stuff he left behind, he was inconvenienced by it.
Listen. I've heard very, very valid and plausible theories that the 08 crash was it could have been worse only because the drug trade kept going.
I have never heard of that. I have no idea how that works.
Because at least it's some money moving.
Hmm. Well, regardless, Pablo Escobar ruined an ecosystem. He didn't ruin an ecosystem. He just had a zoo that went derelict in his absence. And in that zoo, he happened to have hippos. And as it turns out, sub-Saharan Africa and Colombia are not that different climate-wise. So hippos made it work. Problem is, nothing in Colombia has the hands to deal with a hippo. I'm so sorry. It's such over.
Listen. I get it. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. No, you do not.
The only thing that could deal with a hippo is an environment not suitable for a hippo. That's it.
You do not want a hippo for Christmas.
And so apparently in Colombia and parts of just Latin America now, hippos are a thing. Aggressively invasive and so dangerous.
They're hippos.
Yeah, you can't stop them. Nothing can.
It's a hippo.
Yeah.
They're incredibly territorial and they can crush your head in a single bite.
But they're so cute.
No, they're not.
Have you seen baby hippos? I'm so sorry.
I know what they grow into.
If a hippo would stay at about American football size, rugby ball size for all its life, I'd have a pet hippo. I would totally bat too.
Looking at
why is it friend shaped?
Looking at a baby hippo and saying, "Aw, adorable," is like time traveling back to a maternity ward in Vienna, Austria.
Damn it, you said Germany.
And seeing a baby with a very funny mustache and going, "Aw, sweetie."
The comparing hippos to that. Okay. Sure. That is insane. That is just mad hippo slander. That is an insane level.
Hippos are awful.
Yes, but they are objectively cute, like most animals, until they grow. Like, almost any animal in nature looks very, very endearing until it has the capability to kill you. Like, have you seen baby panthers? I'd have a baby panther. The problem is it grows into a real panther, and I don't have the facilities for a real panther. Regardless, that is a real thing that is going on currently in Colombia. And also, he's just the most recent one.
Pablo Escobar.
Or one of his confidants bought one at McLaren F1. And so one of them is actually just raw, unaccounted for.
It's just somewhere?
It's properly missing. Somebody's trying to track it down. Ed Bolian is trying to track it down. I wish him the best of luck in locating it.
It's probably in a tunnel.
No.
Pablo.
No.
It's in a tunnel.
No. Because there's not... I don't know this production. We're getting really into the weeds. There's not many of them. It was like maroon or something. It's not a hard color to miss.
It's in a tunnel somewhere.
Maybe. We'll see. Regardless.
It's Pablo Escobar. Of course it's in a tunnel.
Precisely that happened to this planet, and it is now completely inhospitable because of just the rogue flora and fauna that are now all over the place. The funniest thing about it isn't necessarily that his hubris caused this. It is the fact that this guy... I love this random governor so much, directed his tourism board to just pivot, and now they send astropath signals advertising the thrill of a safari with the most dangerous animals in all of Ultramar.
Gilliman, get your mans.
It's so funny.
Gilliman, come catch your man.
There may not be a man's to get because the most recent message that we got from them was garbled screaming and steel twisting. So I don't think they're taking reservations for the safari anymore.
That'd do it.
But it's really funny that he's like, okay, this has happened. Cool. What can I do with it? Pivot. Tourism, baby. Let's keep it going. And it's a solid plan. I mean, people pay all kinds of money to have a cheetah sit on top of a Land Rover.
This is like
Land Rover.
This is like Jurassic Park having its whole event, and then going back to the island and they already did that in the movie.
Yep. Plus, you can't unmake the T-Rex. It's there now. May as well make it a show. It's just good business.
You could unmake the T-Rex if you tried hard enough.
But then, okay, but here's the immediate problem with Jurassic Park that nobody ever mentions. Cool. A T-Rex is loose in San Francisco. There will be protests if you shoot it. Because it is... The cat is out of the bag. Mm-hmm. It is now horrifically endangered.
We should never have taken the cat.
But now it is a living creature. That is irrelevant. It's a living thing.
No. I know what you mean. It is now a living thing. The cat's out of the bag. We should never have put the cat in the bag in the first place.
And then now you have this huge debate of like, okay, so that thing didn't do anything wrong. It didn't do anything inherently wrong other than being born. Should we kill it and extinguish the last of its kind or let it roam free where it'll desecrate ecosystems? And Congress would be having this conversation, and the whole time a T-Rex does not care. Hiking has become 10 times as dangerous now.
Yeah.
Because you'll just hear that T-Rex roar and, oh, well, there goes Bob. Oh, well, there goes Bob. Unfortunate.
To be fair, I don't...
It's like I think people trying to reintroduce bears to California, where it's like, man, I see where you're coming from, but wow, is hiking going to get spicy.
Hiking will get spicy, and also the climate has changed so much since bears have made that their home that I don't think it would be built for them anymore.
Money's on bears.
I don't think it would...
Money's on bears, I'm sorry.
And bears are built
different. I'm sorry, money's on bears.
Bears are built different. Honestly, I don't think a T-Rex could survive in San Francisco.
I think the problem would be feeding the damn thing.
No, exactly. It would get out into like the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It would have to come to cities to eat, and then it would eat people, and then it would... Okay, kill it.
It'd still be like two people shouting, no, save it.
They'd get eaten.
Yeah, probably. I think the far more realistic one is the Mosasaur just getting out, and the sea's now just screwed.
The sea is spicy.
Because there's enough sea life to sustain a Mosasaur running around.
Oh, yeah, so absolutely.
That is at least for
sure. But there's not enough land life to sustain the caloric intake a T-Rex needs.
I don't think so.
No.
I'd be hard-pressed to think of it. Somebody in the comments will find a... an probably ecosystem that can withstand a T-Rex running through it. I can't think
probably
of
the Midwest, considering how much like farming goes on out there.
They can't eat corn.
They can eat cows. They can eat bison.
Fair enough. You know, I hadn't considered that. Fair enough. And now that brings us to the very, very, very last category and the most dangerous. Do you want to take a guess at what the single most dangerous other than man-made ones could be? I'll give you a hint. It is also kind of man. It's man-preserved. Which sounds like an awful thing to have in your cabinet. Man-preserves.
Don't say that. You're going to sidetrack me.
Any guesses? I will tell you. I'll give you a hint. We've covered them. You've bumped into them several times. Within the last five episodes, a couple times.
Yeen Stealers.
No.
No?
Space Marine Homeworlds.
Yeah?
Yeah. And the reason... I saved the best for last, but also the reason I put them there is because they reveal one of the darker truths about Death Worlds in the Imperium, and that is many, many Death Worlds can be fixed or tamed or at least evacuated and destroyed. You know, you can always cordon off a section of space and go, hey, don't go there. And if you go there, it's your fault. Why'd you jump in the T-Rex pit? We put a massive T-Rex sign.
Said T-Rex, you will be eaten.
But they are only preserved because they are useful to the Imperium as these artificial forges of men. Because think about it. It takes a lot of effort to educate a guy, bring him up to the right age, make sure he's strong enough. It's a lot of effort.
Just let him grow up on the Death World.
Yep. Because he will be hardened and shaped into this thing that a common man can only reach at his extreme on the reg. On top of all of that, it also strips them of kind of a big problem in the Imperium is an individuality. It's a very collectivist kind of a thing. You have to be a collectivist society to turn a blind eye to thousands of psykers disappearing towards a golden throne every day. It's normal.
Thousands of psykers are dying, so trillions can live. That's the logic.
It is very collectivist, and you kind of see a little bit of this in the real world to some extent. Where certain systems will, like for example in the US, it's very advantageous to be super individualistic, to go out there, to do your own thing, and kind of not be as considerate of others as possible. The US is very big, larger than life culture, honest. I mean, look at the heroes we revere, right? And then you zoom back as to how we got here, and you realize the US, if you're looking at it from an 1800s perspective, is unconquerable by a single person. I'm sorry. I don't care who you individually are. You are not taming all the U.S. No. That's just not happening. No. However, 100 of you guys, now we're getting somewhere.
Now you're talking.
And yeah, sure, 100 of you guys, 25 of you are infighting, 30 of you are now just like actively spiting each other, and the rest of you are kind of working together, but really tentatively, and you're kind of backstabbing each other. But at the end of the day, you're all still acquiring space.
That sounds like a school group project.
And yet it's still functioning. Whereas, like, you take a place like Japan where it's not as big and you have to work together. You have to all pitch in because tomorrow an earthquake could just take it all away. And then you don't have as many resources because the U.S. just has any. You sneeze and you find an oil mine here.
To be fair, that's kind of emblematic of modern Japan. Japan back in the day had hands.
I'm sorry, you're describing Imperial Japan as having hands is quite the understatement. it's quite the understatement. However, it's a very different culture. You know, we all do our part. That is what matters, right? Versus I will do the most that I can with this life. It's a very different approach. I don't know which is better. I don't know which is worse. But it is interesting to see that play out in our world. And then now you take it to 40K and you just stretch it out. So instead of just earthquakes and tsunamis and man, we really got to make sure all of our products are built well because we don't have the best iron ever. And nobody wants to buy our stuff because that's a real problem Japanese auto manufacturers had coming in. They were seen as cheap and weird. Like, you know the way we see like Vietnamese EVs right now? Like, holy Why would you buy a VinFast? The hell is a VinFast?
I have never seen a Vietnamese EV. I will not lie to you.
That is precisely. That was what Japan was way back in the day. Why would you buy a Toyota? That's just weird.
And nowadays, it's buy a Toyota.
Yeah, why would you not get a Camry, you nincompoop?
Buy a Toyota Corolla.
And a lot of why they had to do that is they had to double down on quality because it's...
To be fair, it shows.
It really does show.
It really shows.
And so you take that kind of mentality and you drag it all the way out where it's like, nope, I just have to do this because if I don't, a demon will appear tomorrow or the emperor may die because I don't know if I'm the one thing holding all of this together. And you realize most of the death worlds are kept that way on purpose. And some of them have full-blown space marine fortresses on them. You cannot tell me those guys can't tame a planet.
That they
can. Come the hell on. Save for the ones that are environmental, because, yeah, no space marines beating a sandstorm, right? For the ones that
they'll
are mostly,
try.
They'll try. For the ones that are mostly flora and fauna, they could easily fix it. The Imperium has a lot of tech to deal with extreme weather as well. They just choose not to, because if you can survive there, you're a hell of a marine, dude. And even if you're not a marine, you're a hell of a guardsman. It's going to be useful at some point. It's more useful than you having a good life. Learning math? Ugh.
We need you to know how to fight, not how to do
Can math. You count to 30? And I don't mean with your hands. I mean bullets. So long as you can do that, you will be fine. It's perfect.
Is that the magazine size? And
Lasguns don't. It's battery, effectively. So
bolters.
Oh, bolters? Oh, I don't know how many rounds come in a standard issue bolter. Somebody does, but I'm not the one. We've yet to do a standard issue gear of Space Marine video, so I have no idea.
We will know eventually.
It is sufficient. It is sufficient. And if I'm not
bolter round is like the size of a monster tall boy.
No, it's actually got in trouble for that. It's smaller than that.
Is it?
It'll still punch a hole in you. My point still stands.
It's still large. I assume that caliber is still something like that.
But yeah, it'll still put a hole in you that'll make you go. Like
open concept chest, yay!
So it is a lot of these death worlds, especially this last category of space marine death worlds, are made worse by them being there. It's not just a death world with horrible fauna; it's a death world with half wolf space marines running around on it. And I don't mean full space marines; I mean the failures of them are now just stalking the ice, and that's a problem you have to deal with now.
The aggressive fauna.
They kind of make things worse. And even the most organized, the most regimented, the ultramarines still simulate these conditions in some places because it's useful. It's good training. This does mean that every space marine homeworld has a great aesthetic. I'm sorry, none of them have it bad. There are ones that are like mortal engines, those cities on wheels moving around. Some of them,
cool concept for a movie, awful execution as a movie, good execution as a book, I've heard.
Yeah, some homeworlds are like that, with those just roving the sands. There are others that are these massive volcanic worlds that are constantly shaking themselves apart. Others are just tundra unending with krakens that are miles and miles long. And then there are others that are just bureaucratic hellscapes. I mean, it's paperwork on paperwork, a form for the bathroom, a waiver to sit on the toilet, a waiver to flush. Like, it's just hell.
That sounds like the worst hell.
Yeah, there are forest worlds with actual chaos just lurking in there, and you just have to accept it.
We're talking about lions?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say it's probably more like Castlevania. He just lives in Castlevania.
Well, now he lives on a rock. There's not much of it left. Well,
now he does live on a rock.
Yeah. And then there are...
He did live in Castlevania.
There are worlds with just dragons on them. This is just a thing. They're big. They're big flaming geckos, but they're dragons.
They might as well be.
They might as well be dragons.
I mean, Komodo dragons are not dragons. They don't have wings.
Yet another thing I would have as a pet if it wouldn't kill me. There's a long list of animals I would love to have a pet if it wouldn't kill me or it wouldn't be horrific for them.
You know they're not venomous?
Yes, I know. It's just bacteria.
It's just really, just really
mad unwashed.
Really bad bacteria.
Yeah. Horrific morning
breath. Like an entire Smash conference in there.
Worse. It's different. That's not... It's different. That's toxic, not disgusting. There's a difference. It's pedantry, but it matters. Honorable mentions go to Waste Worlds, which are... The Imperium's junkyards. It's got to go somewhere.
It's really... Yeah.
You just... Mercury. There you go. And they just dump everything there.
Mercury. Respect Mercury.
What else are you going to use Mercury for?
high heat tolerance testing?
Venus.
Intense solar radiation.
Venus.
Mercury is closer.
Yeah, but I can just dump
Venus
trash.
Has too thick of an atmosphere to be doing.
Listen, Mercury is a perfect place to dump trash, is what I'm saying. these worlds are. It ranges. Some people think it's just like, you know, the junkyards we have here, miles of garbage. Could be. It could also be because it's the Imperium, miles of garbage with people living in it.
Because
yeah, it could also be the horrific plausibility that there are people there who are forced to sort through it because the Imperium must use everything they can.
Probably that one.
Yeah, probably that one.
It's that one.
Yeah, who just have to pick away until every bone is clean. It's not great. There are war worlds, which I didn't count as death worlds, just because it's an active war zone. Yeah, it's going to be hard to settle.
Yeah,
and there are several of them. They're all over the place. A war world is just an active...
Listen, it's a bad idea to invest in real estate on a planet where the Tyranids are actively showing up.
Mm-hmm. Any world taken by aliens ever? Not worth it. Actually, usually worse than the death worlds. Because you can settle, have a great life on a Necron world, and then bam, suddenly you dug a little too deep.
Why is everything green?
Why is everything green? And then lastly are Chaos worlds.
Wonder why these are death worlds.
Yep,
these wonder are why these are been, awful to live on.
Yep, they've just been taken by a chaos god. Could be Khorne, could be Nurgle, could be Slaanesh, could be Tsiinch. Doesn't matter. They've all been taken and twisted by them into their own image. Khorne's, it rains blood. Come on. Nurgle, gross. Just bogs. Bogs everywhere.
We're talking about the British version of bogs, not the American.
Slaanesh will tank Viagra sales, and Tsiinch will just make it completely incomprehensible. There's just no two ways about it. The interesting thing about Chaos Worlds is it doesn't have to be the big four.
Really?
It could just be like a random demon jobber who said, I want a world, and had the ability to take one.
So does Bellicor just have one running around there?
I'm not sure. The only ones I found were owned by the most jobber of demons. I mean, barely relevant demons. So, but hey, they at least have their own demons. There's a Dune one. I was looking through the list and
I heard Big Sandstorm.
Yeah, there's sandstorms that'll belt sand your face off, and they have these massive subterranean worms that will. Yeah,
it's Dune.
It is Dune.
It's Dune.
It is Dune.
What's it called?
I don't remember.
Because I know Dune has, like, it's such an old, like, sci-fi thing that people just sneak references to it in almost anything. Like, one of my favorite things is I was playing Endless Space a while back, and I noticed that you can actually find Arrakis.
It's not called Arrakis.
Okay.
Because I remember a lot of the Death World's names were stupid.
Mm.
Some of my favorite were easily Allfrost. Whoa, Settler's Bane, Midgardia.
Actually, Settler's Bane makes sense, because if you want people to not settle there, then...
Okay, that's fair. Midgardia. Murder 14,022. Luther McIntyre 9. Lost Hope. Jojo's. And Demogorgon. Yeah, they have some rough names on that list. Most of them are normal, but these are the standouts. I quite liked them.
How bizarre is JoJo's?
I don't know.
Damn.
Some of them are just single sentence worlds, is my problem. Some of them are very just what was death it? World. Why?
Murder 14,000 something something.
And 22. And then Luther McIntyre 9. Yep.
Somebody really didn't like Luther McIntyre.
I don't know. Some of them have roving. My favorite are the ones that have multiple problems. Because it's. Yeah, they have categories like environmental, flora, and fauna. All of them can appear.
Sometimes they cross categories.
Like the Dune one is environment, obviously.
But also fauna. Because big sandworm.
There are worlds where it's a war world, technically, because there are Chaos Knights there. But they're now fighting with massive beasts. And you have Pacific Rim, but oh my god, I hope none of you win. I'm praying none of you win. And it's so much fun. Some of the death worlds are made worse by the people who live there.
Again, Space Marines.
Because, no, sometimes just roving clans of barbarians will take what you have. Because
Mad Max.
Yep, I have to survive. And they're very, very fun. But I have to turn it over to you at this point. What do you think of the various death worlds?
I really like the concept. It definitely fleshes out the universe. Right? Just like, what's happening on all of these planets?
Sometimes planets just blow.
I would love to see, and I'm sure I'm going to see as I search for art for this video, just like the general different fauna and flora.
Chan's got some fun ones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's an artist, I think. He's the concept artist for Subnautica. I can't remember his name to save my life. But he is right now like concepting his own sci-fi universe.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's Rat. I can't remember his name.
Yeah. But it, like, a lot of the art's very cool. And he does a lot of work into fleshing out like how exactly they evolved their specific, like, what they look like, how does their world function, what do they do, and it's very cool to see all the effort put into that. I'm excited to see the art where 40K does probably not as much effort because that guy is going above and beyond, but
40K has got like a 30-year head start.
Yeah, so that it does.
There's some really good art of almost anything you could look for, and if not, there's fantastic fan art of it because people like what they like. I mean, it's one of the more realistic aspects of the universe for me, because even today in our world, we effectively have sections where we go, oof, I don't want to be there. You know, like, yeah, San Francisco's great. Don't go to the Tenderloin. you know, like, LA is fine. Skip Skid Row. You know, and that goes for any town you go to. Mm-hmm. If you ever go to like a town and ask the locals, they'll tell you, oh yeah, this is great. This is great. Avoid Joe Street.
Avoid Joe Street.
And you're not, no, okay, shoot, I guess
I won't go to Joe Street.
You won't go to Joe Street for X or Y reasons,
the difficulty I always find myself with those situations is sometimes it's just a very specific, sometimes it's like actually a bad side of town, and sometimes you just have that one paranoid friend.
Yes, but the Tenderloin!
The Tenderloin does have a very intimidating...
On name alone, I'm not going! On name alone, I'm not going.
Yeah.
It's such an easy call. What is it called?
The Tenderloin?
I'm so good. You don't earn a nickname like that.
If I remember correctly, there's like a borough in New York that's like awful, but it has a very like friend-shaped name.
You know what? Leave your awful sections of town.
Oh,
in the
yeah,
comments.
No, that's what just, the challenge in the comments
if
is.
You made it
what
to
is
the
your
very,
awful section?
Yeah, if you made it to the very end, what's your Fruitvale?
Oh, or was it San Fran that had the very friendly named bad area?
Fruitvale. It's
no,
scary.
New York has one too.
I think Fruitvale.
But Fruitvale I find funny.
It's so funny to me that we're driving through there and they're like, Fruitvale, oh God. So,
whoa, Fruitvale.
What
don't
is,
go to Fruitvale. Why? It's called Fruitvale.
It sounds so nice. So leave your Tenderloin/Fruitvale in the comments. I'm curious, and also I like traveling a lot, so this is gonna be really helpful. I'm gonna come back to this comment section and go, noted.
Give us the locations to not go if we happen to visit your city.
Mm-hmm. Like, please do. I would love to know that. But that does wrap up this episode on Death Worlds. We will be back next week for something that you decide in the comments.
Whatever the poll decides.
Mm-hmm. Poll closes yesterday at midnight, so Patreon's gotten their voice in. And this is a last call, so sound off in the comments. Seriously, it does matter. Other than that, thank you as always for tuning in, and thank you for being you.